You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on the Leadership Challenge. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Note on the Leadership Challenge, How to Make Extraordinary Things Happen in Organizations, by James Couzes and Barry Puzner. As always, let's kick it off with a quote. Leaders get people moving. They energize and mobilize. They take people and organizations to places they have never been before. Leadership is not a fad, and the leadership challenge never goes away. In uncertain and turbulent times, accepting that challenge is the only antidote to chaos, stagnation, and disintegration. Times change, problems change, technologies change, and people change. Leadership endures. Teams, organizations, and communities need people to step up and take charge. That is why we wrote the Leadership Challenge and why we found it imperative to write this fifth edition. Change is the province of leaders. It is the work of leaders to inspire people to do things differently, to struggle against uncertain odds, and to persevere toward a misty image of a better future. Without leadership, there would not be the extraordinary efforts to solve existing problems and realize unimagined opportunities. We have today, at best, only faint clues of what the future may hold. But we are confident that without leadership, the possibilities will neither be envisioned nor attained. End quote. That is James Couzes and Barry Puzner from the Leadership Challenge. James Couzes and Barry Puzner are professors at Santa Clara University's Business School and two of the world's preeminent researchers on leadership. This is the 25th anniversary, fifth edition version of their best-selling classic that has sold over 2 million copies. John Maxwell, another leadership guru and author of the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, see those notes, calls this book one of the five best books he's ever read. One of the things I most like about this book is the fact that it covers the science of leadership. Couzes and Puzner have been conducting empirical research for over three decades. Although it's always fun to tap into various perspectives, I love data-driven wisdom. Little parenthetical aside here, another example of data-driven wisdom is the seven principles of making marriage work. John Gottman has been studying relationships for decades, and he likes to make the point that a lot of therapists and authors have opinions about what makes a marriage work. He focuses on what the data has proven works. I like that. If you had to read only one book on leadership, I'd suggest this one. The book is packed with big ideas. I'm excited to share a few of my favorites, so let's jump straight in. First big idea, the five practices of exemplary leadership. Quote, we first asked people in the early 1980s to tell us what they did when they were at their personal best in leading others. And we continue to ask this question of people around the world. After analyzing thousands of these leadership experiences, we discovered, and continue to find, that regardless of the times or setting, people who guide others along pioneering journeys follow surprisingly similar paths. Although each experience is unique in its individual expression, there were clearly identifiable behaviors and actions that made a difference. When making extraordinary things happen in organizations, leaders engage in what we call the five practices of exemplary leadership. They model the way, inspire a shared vision, challenge the process, enable others to act, and encourage the heart. These leadership practices are not the private property of the people we studied, nor do they belong to a few select shining stars. Leadership is not about who you are, it's about what you do. End quote. After studying thousands of individuals describing their personal best leadership experiences, Couzes and Puzner distilled the essence of leadership down to the five practices of exemplary leadership. Let's take a quick look at each. Number one, model the way. The first step of exemplary leadership is inward. We need to know who we are, what we're here to do, and why we're doing it. We need a clear sense of our values, then we need to be that. We need to practice what we preach, remembering that what we do speaks so loudly that people can't hear what we say. We need to model the way. Practice number two, inspire a shared vision. Exemplary leaders look forward and create a vision of a better possible future. And of course, they must share that vision with others. Did you know the word inspire literally means to breathe life into? Yep, an exemplary leader breathes life into a vision that fires other people up, helping them connect their values to a shared goal. Practice number 3, challenge the process. Doing something that's never been done before is, by definition, hard. If it was easy, it would already be done. Exemplary leaders embrace the challenges inherent to bringing their vision to life. They break the big dream down into doable baby steps and celebrate small wins. They're resilient, hardy, and gritty, eating stress like energy bars with their team as they keep everyone energized for the long haul. Practice number 4, enable others to act. Leadership, by definition, isn't about trying to do something great as a lone ranger. It's about inspiring others to share the dream and then creating the circumstances so they can do their absolute best work. Exemplary leaders believe in the potential of people on their team. They trust them to do great work and give them the autonomy to go out and crush it. People like that a lot. Practice number 5, encourage the heart. The secret weapon of the exemplary leader? Love. We need to love what we do, the people with whom we do it, and the people we're blessed to serve. It takes courage to do extraordinary work. Remember that the word courage literally means heart in Latin. It's the virtue that vitalizes all the other virtues, the same way the heart vitalizes our arms and legs and organs. To encourage is to build up courage in others. That takes a lot of love. Quick little inventory here. When you take a look at those 5 practices, where are you strong? What can use some work? And what tiny things can you do to 1% incrementally optimize today? Remember, leadership is a learnable skill. It's, quote, not about who you are, it's about what you do. Next big idea, the foundation of leadership, credibility. Quote, credibility is the foundation of leadership. Constituents must be able, above all else, to believe in their leaders. For them to willingly follow someone else, they must believe that the leader's word can be trusted, that she is personally passionate and enthusiastic about the work, and that she has the knowledge and skill to lead. End quote. So the foundation of leadership? Credibility. The essence of credibility? 4 characteristics. We'll share those in a moment. For now, out of the 20 characteristics I'm going to read in a moment, which 7 do you most look for in a leader you'd willingly follow? It might be easier to do this particular exercise while reading along, but here are the 20 characteristics I want you to think about. In which 7 do you most look for in a leader you'd willingly follow? Ambitious, broad-minded, caring, competent, cooperative, courageous, dependable, determined, fair-minded, forward-looking, honest, imaginative, independent, inspiring, intelligent, loyal, mature, self-controlled, straightforward, and supportive. So, what are the top 7 characteristics you look for in a leader worth following? Take a moment to reflect on that before continuing. If you're like the 100,000-plus people to whom Kuzes and Puzner have posed that question, you probably included these 4 qualities in your list. Apparently, these always receive more than 60% of the votes. Honest, forward-looking, competent, and inspiring. Those 4 characteristics provide stability to the foundation of leadership, which is your credibility. An exemplary leader is honest. We can trust them. An exemplary leader is forward-looking. They have a vision of the future that inspires us. An exemplary leader is competent. They know what they're doing and get results. An exemplary leader is inspiring. They breathe life into us, believing in and showing us how to reach our potential. How about you? Are you honest, forward-looking, competent, inspiring? Again, how can you plus 1% each of those a little more today? As you think about that, a little P.S., John Maxwell echoes this wisdom in 21 Laws of Leadership. He tells us, quote, "Most high achievers spend time developing their professional skills. They seek to be highly competent. Fewer focus on their character. What are you currently doing to develop your character?" He continues by saying, "I recommend that you focus on three main areas: integrity, authenticity, and discipline. To develop your integrity, make a commitment to yourself to be scrupulously honest. Don't shave the truth. Don't tell white lies, and don't fudge numbers. Be truthful even when it hurts. To develop authenticity, be yourself with everyone. Don't play politics, role play, or pretend to be anything you're not. To strengthen your discipline, do the right things every day, regardless of how you feel." End quote. Remember, honest plus forward-looking plus competent plus inspiring, the foundation of credibility. Next big idea, DWYSYWD, a top leadership tip. Quote, "We refer to it as the Kuznets-Posner's second law of leadership. You build a credible foundation of leadership when you DWYSYWD, do what you say you will do. DWYSYWD has two essential parts, say and do. The practice of model the way links directly to these two dimensions of the behavioral definition of credibility. Modeling is about clarifying values and setting an example for others based on those values. The consistent living out of values is the way leaders demonstrate their honesty and trustworthiness. It's what gives them the moral authority to lead. And that's where we begin our discussion of the five practices." End quote. The Kuznets-Posner's second law of leadership, DWYSYWD. I love it. Do what you say you will do, period. Reminds me of Stephen Covey. In Primary Greatness, he tells us, "A life of total integrity is the only one worth striving for." He also says, "It's impossible to hit perfection and total integrity every single moment of the day, but it's worth striving for. The most direct route to total integrity? DWYSYWD. How are you doing with that?" Little P.S. here, wondering what the first law is, if that's the second law? Well, here you go. The Kuznets-Posner first law of leadership, if you don't believe the messenger, you won't believe the message. P.P.S., best way to rock law number one and get people to believe you? Follow law number two, DWYSYWD. Next big idea, hopes, dreams, aspirations. Quote, "In every personal best case, leaders talked about ideals. They expressed a desire to make dramatic changes in the business-as-usual environment. They reached for something grand, something magnificent, something that had never been done before. Visions are about ideals. They're about hopes, dreams, and aspirations. They're about the strong desire to achieve something great. They're ambitious. They're expressions of optimism. Can you imagine a leader enlisting others in a cause by saying, 'I'd like you to join me in doing something ordinary'? Not likely. Visions stretch people to imagine exciting possibilities, breakthrough technologies, and revolutionary social changes." End quote. "Hey, I have this mediocre idea to keep on doing the same old thing, but in a particularly boring manner. Want to join me?" Ha, right. Leaders are pioneers willing to explore the unknown. Leaders dream. Big, inspiring, audacious, never been done before, make the world a better place kind of dreams. So, all that begs the question, what are your dreams? For your family, your work, your life? Seriously, what are your dreams? For your family, what's your ideal vision there? How about your work and your life? Breathe life into those visions and lead. Next big idea, challenges equal calls to greatness. Quote, "When people recall their personal best leadership experiences, they always think about some kind of challenge. Why? Because personal and business hardships have a way of making people come face to face with who they really are and what they're capable of becoming. They test people, and they require inventive ways of dealing with new situations. They tend to bring out the best in people. When times are stable and secure, however, people are not severely tested. They may perform well, get promoted, and even achieve fame and fortune. But certainty and routine breed complacency." End quote. And that's from practice number 3, challenge the process. Recall that part of Kuz's plus Puzner's research methodology is to interview people regarding their personal best leadership experiences. Those times when they really showed up as their best selves and crushed it. Note, when they describe themselves at their best, all of them talk about their challenging times. All caps. When they're at their best, all of them talk about their challenging times. Note, none of them talk about the times they were just coasting along. As we've discussed countless times, if we want to perform at our best, we need to turn up the heat and hit our activation point. 210 degrees equals not a lot going on. 212 degrees equals boiling water. 449 degrees? Whatevs. 451 degrees? Fire. Reflect on your personal best leadership experiences. What was going on? How did you respond? Take a moment and reflect on that. What's a quick look at you at your absolute best as a leader? My hunch is there are some challenges in that scenario. Remember, challenge is the opportunity for greatness. Little PS here, pro tips from this section. As touched on above, break your big goals into smaller chunks and make progress while celebrating small wins, which is a key to sustaining high energy during challenging times. And of course, we've got to have a growth mindset where we know that we can get better if we put in the effort, rubbing our hands together at the sight of challenges, knowing that's how we get into flow and do our best. And we've got to be gritty. The authors talk about Carol Dweck and her growth mindset research. They also talk about Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi in his flow research. And they talk about Angela Duckworth and Martin Seligman's research as well. Check out our notes on all of those great authors and their great books for more. All of those are linked in the note for your reference and easy access. One more thought here. As Kuzis and Puzner tell us, progress is not made in giant leaps. It's made incrementally. Exemplary leaders move forward in small steps with little victories. They turn adversity into advantage, setbacks into successes. They persevere with grit and determination. End quote. All of which leads us to the final big idea, the best-kept secret of leadership. Quote, of all the things that sustain a leader over time, love is the most lasting. It's hard to imagine leaders getting up day after day, putting in the long hours and hard work it takes to get extraordinary things done, without having their hearts in it. The best-kept secret of successful leaders is love. Staying in love with leading, with the people who do the work, with what their organizations produce, and with those who honor the organization by using its products and services. Leadership is not an affair of the head. Leadership is an affair of the heart. End quote. Those are the final words of the book. Love. It's the best-kept secret of leadership. May we fall deeply in love with our lives, the people with whom we create, the people we are blessed to serve, and with every step of this journey as we optimize, actualize, and lead. With love and gratitude for all your support, I hope you enjoyed. That is a quick look at the Leadership Challenge. James Kuzis and Barry Puzner. Learn more about them and their great work at leadershipchallenge.com. If you enjoyed this, I think you'll also enjoy the notes on our growing collection of leadership titles, including the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, On Becoming a Leader, Extreme Ownership, The Power of Ideals, and then a number of other titles, Peak, Flow, Why We Do What We Do, Louder Than Words, All About Finding Your Voice, Broadcasting Happiness, The Road to Character, Flourish, and so many more. All of those, again, and as always, are linked in the note. All right, now it's time for some great quotes, and we'll wrap it up. Kuzis and Puzner tell us, in the end, we realize that leadership development is self-development. Meeting the leadership challenge is a personal and daily challenge for everyone. We know that if you have the will and the way to lead, you can. You have to supply the will. We'll do our best to keep supplying the way. We've also found that in the best organizations, everyone, regardless of title or position, is encouraged to act like a leader. People commit to causes, not to plans. Even though leaders have grand visions about the future, they get there one step at a time, building momentum as well as the strength and resolve to continue forward along the journey. You have to spend more of today thinking more about tomorrow if your future is going to be an improvement over the present. Challenge is the opportunity for greatness. Good coaches also ask good questions. Her personal motto is, ask, don't tell. She learned it from Peter Drucker, who said, the leader of the future asks, the leader of the past tells. And finally, leadership is everyone's business. As we will learn in a future note on Robin Sharma's The Leader Who Had No Title, you do not need a title to lead. We just need to step up and shine and be our most radiant, highest version of ourselves in service to others. For now, I hope you enjoyed the leadership challenge. What was your favorite idea? And how can you make it a more integrated part of your life starting today? Get on that. And once again, thank you for all of your support.
We hope you enjoyed this philosopher's note. Please go to brianjohnson.me to download more.